Podcastle, episode 502, for December 26th, 2017. Podcastle live at CanCon, featuring the story Zillow and the Many-Folded Puzzle Ship by Charlotte Ashley. Read by Charlotte Ashley. Hello, and welcome to Podcastle Live. I'm your host and Podcastle co-editor, Jen Albert. This is Charlotte Ashley, our author and reader for today. This episode is a very special one. I'm here in Ottawa, Canada's capital, at CanCon, which is a wonderful science fiction and fantasy writers convention based in Canada. And this panel is a live recorded panel. We apologize for any flubs, for any chair creaks or coughs. Or any cell phones going off. Hopefully there won't be any cell phones going off. So joining me today is Charlotte Ashley, our author and narrator. And joining me also is our wonderful audience. Say hello, everybody. So today, Charlotte's going to read her new story called Zillow and the Many-Folded Puzzle Ship. So this story is set in the world of Charlotte's Archipelago project, which you can follow on Patreon right now. The project is a serialized, interactive, historical adventure fantasy, and it's a collaborative effort between her and three authors, Charlotte, Andrew Leon Hudson, and Kurt Hunt. So this story takes place about halfway through the prologue story, which is available from Blackgate for free, and the current storyline, which you can get in Patreon. Charlotte Ashley is a writer, editor, and bookseller living in Toronto, Canada. Her short fiction has been nominated for both the Aurora and the Sunburst Awards and has appeared in a number of anthologies and magazines, including Year's Best Science Fiction and Fantasy 2017, edited by Rich Horton. Her serial competitive shared world swashbuckling adventure novel, The Last Charter, can be found at The Archipelago at www.patreon.com/archipelago. You can find out more about her at www.once-and-future.com or on Twitter at Charlotte Ashley. The links will be in the show notes. So load up your cannons and get ready to sail. It's time to hop on deck and enjoy the story.
Thank you. Zillal and the Many-Folded Puzzle Ship. When Zillal Saliban Kamal was 6 years old, she built her first ship in a bottle. It was a fully articulated craft of sandalwood and brass, with 18 oars that rowed in unison when the bottle was tipped to and fro. Her father presented it to the Sultan on her behalf, and it sits in the Winter Palace still. When she was 9, Zillal received her first commission from the Emir. The musical dhow that she built as a gift for his young son played lullabies with the flow of the tides and could be heard singing low, fine ragas while at anchor, the drifting waters playing the ship's reeds and pipes. When she was 11, Zillal redesigned the Sultan's Jebek to carry a third mast and wider sails, making the Tidebreaker the strongest ship in the Azurian fleet. She took formal apprenticeship with her father, the artificer Saliban, and moved into the Sultan's palace. When she was 12, a hole in the world opened up off the shore of Mogadishu. The portal, a shimmering, towering tunnel perched prettily in the bay, opened into a whole new world filled with riches, dangers, and opportunities. In the depths of her soul, she understood that the archipelago, named for its endless seas and infinite islands, would be the equal of her in ways that the mundane world could never be. But when she was 16, Zillal Saliban Kamal fell in love. The Sultanate guarded the secret of the portal closely. Nobody could pass through without a Sultan's mark. But Zillal thrived on the impossible. Challenging convention, limitations, even nature, that was her craft. Her whole life had been an apprenticeship in defiance, leading up to the moment when her heart, her soul, her very existence depended on getting that which she needed so desperately that she felt she would simply cease to be if she didn't get it. Get him. The tall boy in the shipyard with the thick arms and the easy smile. Not that Jamal, the woodcutter, withstood her natural charms. He was a fine, strong lad of 18 who knew a good thing when he saw her. But Zillal wanted more than his chaste attention. Skulking around back alleys and darkened gardens just to find a place of quiet beauty to share with him did not suit her. And why should it, when a whole private world lay just beyond the Forbidden Gate? So she built Jerboa. Come on, Zilal whispered. She led Jamal past the fishermen unloading the day's catch to an unremarkable covered dhow near the end of a pier. It's getting dark.
Isn't that the point? The boy replied, flashing his calm smile.
He had soft brown eyes, big hands, and a wide chest that strained pleasingly against the flimsy linen of his shirt. He wrapped his arm around her waist, pulling her closer.
The dark is our handmaiden, hiding us from all eyes but the moon's.
Is that poetry? Zilal laughed, slipping away. Save your honeyed tongue. We need at least a little light to cast off. Jerboa was like any other family's fishing vessel, 20 feet long with a hood-like stern castle at the rear and a single mast jutting at an angle from the nose. She was made of Taji bonewood, nearly indestructible, and freshly painted a royal blue-black, but otherwise could have belonged to any poor person in Lower Jamar. Zilal hopped aboard and beckoned to her beloved. Get that rope. We've only got a little time. Jamal did as he was told, untying the boat and pushing them away from the dock. He moved to unfurl the sail next, but Zilal stopped him with a hand on her forearm. What? The boy asked. We need the sail to catch a northerly wind. Zilal drew him closer to her with only a mysterious smile. Aren't we going north? Zilal shook her head and stood on her toes, whispering into his ear. No, we're going there. Jamal drew back enough to follow Zilal's steady gaze to the portal. Wait, you're serious, he hissed. You mean to enter the archipelago? Zilal inclined her head. I do. Jamal looked about the modest dhow, but if he doubted her, he did not let it show. He circled her with an admiring gaze. I knew you were bold, but I never dreamed you would risk your life for an evening in my arms. The hair on the back of Zilal's neck rippled and her cheeks grew hot. And you, ready to follow me into that danger? Her hand found his chin, ran a finger along his smooth jaw. Come on, she whispered. Below, I will show you my ship. Jerboa was not what she seemed. Her perfectly joined hulls hid many secrets. Jerboa the fishing boat had little more than a storage space below deck, with room only to lie in the dark on a strange polished belly. But she was not a fishing boat for long. Zilal returned to the main deck and counted the waves as they drifted into the current, watching as the Soldan's fleet dipped in and out of view with the swell of their wake. In the valleys between peaks, when she was as hidden from them as they were from her, she started to fold the ship. Whoosh! With the rolling of a wave, she set a hidden gear clicking by depressing a lever and the whole port deck slid aside. Whoosh! With another wave, and the starboard deck next rolled away in a clatter of retracting boards. Whoosh! Zilal moved into the shadow of the hooded stern castle, waiting for a big one. Whoosh! It came, so she drew down the hood as if it were bed netting, tucking the interlocking boards under the lip of the aft hull. Jamal sat up in confusion, finding himself in the open air. Get down, she whispered. She put a hand on his chest and guided him onto his back, leaning down beside him. I have one more change to make. Jamal merely nodded, fascinated by the ship's belly, revealed to be made entirely of sea-dark glass, speckled with the reflection of the dusk-time stars. Zilal left him to uncover a crank wheel at the base of the mast that locked into a helm position. She stirred it round and round, retracting the mast and eliciting shudders from along the outer hull. There, Zilal sighed, returning to Jamal. She lay her hand on his chest once more and wormed her head into the crook of his shoulder. When she turned to look at him, the endless sky looked back from the depths of his eyes. Kiss me, Jamal whispered, and she did, hungrily. Because, she silenced him with another taste, because, he gently pushed her away, we may not get another chance. We're drifting too close to the fleet. Zilal raised an eyebrow. They can't see us if we stay low, she said. Look. All along the lip of the hull, water gently lapped over the edge of the boat and ran down into gutters along the glass bottom. Jamal's mouth dropped open before he could articulate his surprise. How is the water so high? We're sunk low in the sea, she finished. It's an illusion. The face of the sea aligns perfectly with the top of the boat. Jerboa's many folded hulls are nothing more than a shadow beneath the waves to them. She moved her hand to his cheek, turning his face to hers. All we need to do is wait. We'll know when we're safe in the archipelago. It did not take long. The blackening sky suddenly flashed silver, and the light around them shimmered and broke like a flock of birds. When it dimmed again, nothing was the same. Light moved differently on the other side of the portal. The days were longer, and the nights bright with the glow of an enormous moon. Archipelago's sea shone blue through the glass, smooth light reflecting off of unlikely objects. Shells, millions of them, gave off soft, distant lights. Schools of eels flashed rainbows, and the hard, black edges of the undersea canyon glinted strangely as Jerboa's outline passed by. Zilal knew how this light favored her sharp features, lit from below. She stretched cat-like on the glass, with Jamal lying at her side, his chest pressing into her back, watching the watery world glide by over her shoulder. "How is this possible?" Jamal muttered, nuzzling her ear. "See those hookfish there? They must be half a league below us. They look like termites. How is it not black as Shaw down there?" "This is heaven," Zilal muttered, tipping her head to glance Jamal's cheek with her own. "God's gift, the land of 1,000,000,000 possibilities." She closed her eyes and enjoyed the tickle of his breath. Also, the glasses curved to make the depths seem bigger than they really are. Jamal kissed her cheek, his dark eyes gleaming with blue. "That's incredible. You are incredible." His lips moved down to her chin, her throat. "My angel, what was that?" He abruptly pressed himself up on one arm and leaned hard over Zilal, pressing nearly his nose to the glass. "Did you see that?" Zilal extricated herself. "No." She glanced cursorily into the depths. "It was probably a sea serpent. We'd be over the Devil's Gorge by now." "God protect us," Jamal breathed. "That was some sort of snake or whirlpool or twisting and flexing, only made up of bone or shell or..." "Sounds like a sea serpent to me," Zilal replied, the tingles on her neck growing cold. "And it's much further away than it appears." She lay flat on her back and lay one finger on the sharp point of Jamal's hip, immediately drawing his eye. "Think of him as our guardian. How else could we find ourselves the only two people in all the world?" This time Jamal smiled and lowered himself slowly over her for a long, succulent kiss. "Okay, but," he whispered, his lips still touching hers, "could it not come up here and swallow us in one gulp?" Zilal cupped his face, her hands like blinders. "The glass works in reverse as well. We look like ants or less. Anyway, let it try," she said. "I trust Jerboa." Jamal grinned. "And I trust you." His hips came to press heavily on hers, then, a weight like the fold before a leap, the gathering of anticipation before the release of... Bang! 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 "I knew it!" Jamal cried, leaping to a crouch before the echoes of the nearby explosions had even subsided. "Gunfire!" "What?" Zilal sat up, alarmed. But that's impossible. Nobody could have seen us cross. Nobody..." "Bang! Bang!" Zilal flinched, but the explosions were behind and to starboard on the mainland. She crept to the rail and risked a look over. The archipelago was many things. Glorious and beautiful, dangerous and wild. Another evening, Zilal might have wondered at the strangeness of it, at the raw, uncontrolled freedom of every alien tree beneath the uncharted stars. She knew it only from maps and stories, from sketches brought to her workshop. It was something else in the flesh, something that filled the soul with more light than the sun. Or it would have, if Zilal's soul had not been quite full already. All she cared for now was the endless sea lapping against the lip of her ship, almost a mile away, and the silver-rimmed thumb of darkness where the portal back to Mogadishu was. "It's nothing," she murmured. "Nobody has followed us." "But look," Jamal protested. "There!" Silhouetted against the moonlit sand, two people raced along the beach, drizzles of white smoke rising between them.
More smoke flowed out of the forest up the shore. A third person burst from the tree line, followed by a single bang. Two more shots further in answered it.
"Well, they haven't spotted us yet," Zilal muttered, looking askance at her companion.
Jamal leaned over the hull, spilling rivulets into the boat as he squinted hard.
"Mercy of God, I think those are children, Zilal."
He took her hand and stood, head and shoulders above the safety of the waterline. "We must help them."
"But that's none of our business," Zilal might have said.
"But we haven't got any weapons."
"But, Jamal, we're in another world full of sea serpents and deadly jungles with nothing but our wits, and, by the way, I've been planning this trip for weeks."
She might have said that, too.
"But look at him." He had one foot on the lip of the boat now, poised as if he would jump into this bottomless ocean just to save those poor souls, whatever the cost to him. Her belly flushed hot with pride, or something like it, and she stood with him.
"We will," she replied. "Just watch."
The crank at the helm emptied the bilge tanks inside the hull and extended the telescoping mast. Jerboa rose out of the water and grew larger still when Zilal drew close to the boards of her upper deck once more. She unfolded hidden planks, building the hull higher and longer with little more than the release of a catch and a touch of her hand, transforming Jerboa from a drifting rowboat to an imposing caravelle. Jamal set the sail and tied it fast as Zilal leaned over the rudder, bringing Jerboa around. They could soon make out more of the three figures on the beach. None of them were large, but it was clear that only one, the last to have emerged from the forest, was an adult. The other two could not have been older than 8 or 9. The adult with the gun waved their arms at Jerboa, pulling the children close. Without a word of consultation, Jerboa's meager crew sailed the boat into the edge of the gorge, turning broadside to the shallows and dropping a plank. Catching their meeting immediately, the stranded trio waded into the water as quickly as they could, starting the knee-depth trek towards the ship. Behind them, two muzzles flashed against the dark forest verge. The adult took one child under each arm and tried to run. "Come on," Zilal said, and she vaulted over the ledge into the water. Jamal followed, half a moment behind her. Beyond the drop-off, the water was barely deep enough to cushion their landing. They lumbered through the shallows to meet the woman, for they could now see the curve of her robes and the telltale pattern of facial scars that the woman of the Way Western villages wore. They picked up one of her children each, which she relinquished with relief. Zilal felt a strange stiffness in the child's arm as she settled him on her hip and ran back to the ship's ramp, but there was no time to wonder. Their shadowy assailants were sprinting down the shore, reloading their guns as they ran. "Up, up!" Zilal cried, putting the child on the ramp and ushering Jamal and the woman past her. She narrowed her eyes at their pursuers, trying to make out clues in their outfits. They were neat and well-fed, official, military. She followed the others onto the ship. Jamal untied the ropes and turned the sails to catch the southerly breeze as their new passengers embraced and exchanged a few words in a westerly language. The ship gently surged out into the deep. The woman stiffened at the motion, and then turned on him with a shout.
I'm sorry, he said, startled. I don't understand.
No, idiot, north, the woman repeated, in their language this time, waving her pistol for emphasis. They told me Mumiani is north.
She appended several westerly curses with a jab for the weapon.
Where is your guns?
Mumiani? Jamal looked at Zilal for clarification, but she could only shrug.
Is that a place? She asked. Is it here or back home?
The woman grew very still. You are not from Mumiani. She looked around the deck without turning her back to them. This is not an Ajuran ship.
Zilal became very conscious of the Soldan's edict against traveling to the archipelago. Of course we're an Ajuran ship, she laughed. We're from Al-Taj, to the south. Why else would we be here?
The woman scowled and gestured idly with her gun.
You are badly lying, she said. Turn back north, or you'll get us all dead.
I was not going to get myself killed before we rescued you, and I don't plan to get myself killed now, Zilal replied curtly, crossing her arms.
All right, we're not from Al-Taj.
But neither are you. Those men were the Soldan's militia. Why were they chasing you? How did you get here? The woman's grip tightened on her pistol and she closed one eye, as if measuring the space between them. The girl raised an eyebrow. If that's a threat, I will thank you to remember that we have just saved you from them. The woman smirked at that and lowered her pistol.
Brave girl. Good blasted thing because you are in over your hair. Now look.
Zilal heard the unmistakable click of a hammer being reset. The little boy she'd carried to the ship stood off to one side, a pistol trained on her chest and a serious frown on his young face.
Turn the ship around, because we're going to Mumiani.
Zilal? Jamal asked. She heard a second pistol click where the other child was, and sighed. You have mistaken us, mother. We are not your enemy.
Might be, the woman shrugged, but I did not come all this way to be stranded on a beach. My boys and I were promised refuge at Mumiani, and if we could reach it, and I plan to do just that. I can leave you here if you like, but this ship is now mine.
Zilal's eyes darkened. Jerboa will never belong to anyone but me, she said. Only I know how to solve her puzzles. I will drop you somewhere safe, and you can continue to your destination. The woman chuckled.
Can't reach Mumiani without a ship, she said, moving to trade pistols with her son. And this ship is taken. Sorry, girl. You are mine.
Mother inspected their little ship and found it wanting. Zilal feigned ignorance of all but the most basic sailing practices, as Jamal stood in sullen silence by the rudder, watching the children search every lip and corner for cargo or weapons. After some barking at her sons, Mother put Zilal and Jamal below decks and locked the hatch behind them.
"Not even one cannon," she grumbled, kicking the trap shut. "And no cargo to trade at Mumiani. We must find a proper ship. Blast and..."
Her voice fell muffled as the westerly cursing began. "Jamal?" Zilal whispered, laying her hand on the boy's shoulder. He sat on the floor with his back to her, his hands flat on the glass. He tensed at her touch.
"I brought her aboard," Jamal muttered. "We had no weapons, no soldiers. What was I thinking?"
Zilal drew back. "You brought them aboard?"
"If only we had something, a spear, an axe, then perhaps..."
"An axe? Are you in the habit of hacking apart children down at the shipyards?" Jamal turned to look at her.
"What? No, no, but..."
"Don't say one more word. You brought them aboard, indeed. I suppose I was just simpering below decks."
"Obviously, no, but..."
"I brought Mother and her little demon babies onto my ship, Jamal, not you. And I wouldn't have done so if I didn't know exactly what I was doing."
Jamal merely stared at her in disbelief.
"All right," Zilal conceded. "I did not expect them to hijack Jerboa. But I would not have taken us into the archipelago if I were not confident that Jerboa were the equal of any threat here. And Mother? Ha! She's just human."
She gave Jamal a reassuring smile.
"Jerboa does not have weapons because she does not need them. Jamal, Jamal." She shimmied close and traced his spine with her finger, pleased when he shivered.
"Trust me," she whispered into his ear.
A hesitant smile crept once more onto the boy's face. He took both her hands in his own, kissing them.
"Tell me what I can do," he said. "Shall we open the decks again? When they fall through, I'll knock them on the head and then..."
"No, Jamal," Zilal laughed. "We're not going to beat a woman and her children, no matter how rude they've been." She pulled her hands away and crawled to the back of the ship, removing a panel on the aft hull and sliding it to Jamal. "Wield this," she told him as he lifted the piece, testing its heft. "If they want to go to Mumiani, let them. There's no reason we must go along." Zilal sat at the helm and took a deep breath. Jamal crouched at her back, the bonewood panel held in front of him like a shield. She had warned him that the next fold of her puzzle ship would be impossible for their captors to ignore. It only took 2 sunwise rotations of the helm crank to open the bilge tanks once more. The ship gave a shudder and then settled into silence.
"Quickly now," Zilal whispered.
Muted thumping over their heads suggested that Mother was already hurrying to investigate the sound. Zilal scuttled to port and found the hidden seam of a circular cut in one hull, directing Jamal to find the other to starboard. The thin, strong timber slid perfectly out of place with a tap, revealing a T-shaped handle, capping a post, screwed horizontally through the layers of the hull.
1, 2, 3,
she mouthed as she and Jamal each took hold of their respective handles.
"Turn!"
They rotated the posts in unison, withdrawing them from the hull one layer at a time. With each board they cleared, the heavy, water-filled bottom of the ship dropped a foot from the ceiling, locking into a new position with a loud crack. The footsteps overhead thumped and stumbled. "What are you doing?" Mother's angry, muffled shouting moved to stern. "Why are the hulls shrinking?" The locks on the hatch rattled. "Don't let them down," Zilal cried. She stood tall, feeling along the walls for a lever that she knew was there, as Jamal raced to cover the locked hatch. He jumped up and caught a handle, hanging onto it with his full weight. After a moment's struggle, Mother gave an angry command and two gunshots exploded right above his head. He held fast. "Zilal?" he called. Zilal cursed as she ran her fingers on the underside of the ceiling. "Those guns can't breach bone wood," she shouted back. "It'll be all right, hold on. It's just too dark. I can't find..." "No, Zilal," Jamal stuttered. "Below! Below!" They were over the depths of the Devil's Gorge and darkness had fallen. The reflected glow of the shells had dimmed, the fish had fled, and Jerboa's heft now cast a black shadow over the only living thing below them, a writhing sea serpent twisting like a gunworm towards them. "Oh, of all the luck," she muttered. "Sorry, Mother." She found the lever. She hauled down on it with all her strength, popping a board right out of the upper deck, briefly revealing the stars. The serpent below them rammed the glass in that very instant, cracking its bone-shard head and nearly upending the ship, throwing them all hard to port. Jamal was tossed away from the door, and for a moment Zilal saw Mother's robes fluttering past the open hatch in the same direction. Zilal held tight to the lever as it rolled along a hidden rail all the way to the far wall, pulling a new layer of boards into place behind it. They didn't hear the splash, but they saw Mother's kicking feet through the glass as the ship rocked back hard to starboard, only a few yards from the serpent's interlocking scales. Zilal staggered to stern, pulling the rudder post out of its clamp, and slammed yet another panel shut. The serpent churned in confusion inches from her feet as she slid the rest of the way back to the helm. "Help me," she cried, taking hold of the clamp. Jamal half slid, half fell into her back, reaching around her and covering her hands with his own. Together they rotated the stiff crank as hard as they could. The ship creaked, shuddered, and abruptly fell away. Zilal felt her weight lifted and then settled as they gained speed. She shouldered Jamal aside to see if her plan had worked. Through the glass, she saw the jagged cliffs of the Devil's Gorge fly past them. She saw the spiraling length of the sea serpent slip away in the distance. She saw the shadow of Jerboa, the half of her that they had left behind anyway, darkening the distant sea floor as they shot downward. She sighed in relief and adjusted the crank. A bubbly jet of water to aft steadied the rudder, and they came to an even keel. "We are truly underwater now," Jamal guessed. "Jerboa has become a fish. By God, who has ever heard of such a thing?" Zilal smiled. "We have only a few minutes before we must surface," she said, touching Jamal's cheek. His face was a study in awe, but it was she who commanded that attention. His eyes grew wider as she leaned in to kiss him. She did not need to ask. His arms wound about her as their bodies pressed eagerly together. "Only a few minutes," Jamal murmured. "It is still light. And I find, Zilal, with all this excitement..." Zilal closed her eyes with a tremble, but held on to her reason. "Ah, Jamal," she breathed. "In a few minutes, we'll begin to run out of air. The sea serpent will right itself, and, as likely as not, decide to swallow us instead of them. Mother will climb aboard her raft and discover that we've left her with a sail but no rudder, a deck but no hull. Hopefully she'll take her children to shore, but she may not. And we have to find the right current to ride all the way back to the portal." She sighed. "No, I think we've exhausted our luck for today. We must, that is, perhaps we should return home for now." Jamal reluctantly agreed. They emptied the bilge tanks and rose smoothly to the surface of the wild new sea once more, opening the ceiling decks to reveal an endless sky speckled with stars that no one knew. They made the most of the lazy drift home, lying on the battered floor, the battered boat's floor.
2 weeks later, Jamal the Woodcutter took a commission in the Azuran fleet. He shipped out to the archipelago in midwinter. He did not tell Zilal until the day of his departure. He looked so fine in his sailor's garb that she couldn't find it in herself to be angry. "Only why?" she asked. "We could have returned together. Jerboa shall have sisters. I have such ideas, Jamal, plans and drafts. Every day the archipelago yields new discoveries, tools and materials that I will..." She trailed off, seeing the sad smile on her beloved's face. "Of course," he said, stroking her braided hair. "You have a great destiny in the archipelago, Zilal. You have magic in your creations, in your mind, in your smile. But this is my only way to join you. Woodcutters do not get to uncover God's mysteries. Travelers do. Adventurers do." He leaned in for a gentle kiss. "When next we meet, we will learn from each other, and I shall be more than muscle for your mechanisms." Zilal tried to protest, but bit her tongue. He was, after all, right. She kissed him again instead. "Next time," he promised, "we will not have to hide." Zilal did not care who saw them now. When Zilal Saliban Kamal was 20 years old, she left Mogadishu forever. She moved to the archipelago in search of her lost ship, a secret city, and Jamal. Each task was said to be impossible, but the impossible was her craft. And that is a tale for another time.
Thank you, Charlotte, for that wonderful reading and the wonderful story. It's very exciting. Thanks, everybody, for coming and for listening and for being such a great audience. Do you mind if I ask you?
Yeah, no.
If you can talk about your project a little bit? Yeah.
So the archipelago project or this story in particular?
Well, the project first and then.
So archipelago is a shared world, competitive serial adventure story. So the idea is that myself and two other writers, Andrew Leon Hudson and Kurt Hunt, have split up three nations in a more or less real 17th century world. Andrew has the British. Kurt has taken on kind of a proto-American nation, sort of the missing people of Roanoke and the settlers of the doomed Jamestown expedition. And I've taken Mogadishu in Somalia. So the idea is that a portal opens up outside of each of these, or in within the jurisdiction of each of these three nations, and they each begin their own expeditions into the world on the other side of the portal, which is full of, you know, islands and sea monsters and strange artifacts, but as far as they can tell, no civilized life. So it's sort of, you know, a free-for-all of looting and doing whatever they can on the other side. At the point in that, so we've been at this for about 6 months now. Mm-hmm. We're each telling our own stories, but the stories will soon start to come into conflict with each other as our nations start to come into conflict with each other, both in the real world and on the other side of the portal. So in this sense, we wanted it to be competitive. So we would each have to sort of outright each other. We've set some ground rules for what kind of can be done and can't be done to the other nations and to the world. And then we're just going to see what we can do to take over the new world while telling kind of three independent stories and not knowing necessarily what the other people are writing several months in advance. So,
and this story, how involved is it in what's going on or what might be going on?
Right. So I wanted this to stand alone just because nobody has to read, you know, our whole world to know kind of the story. The main character in this story, Zilal, is a character in my main storyline, although the timing is different. So in Mogadishu, the portal opens up, and 11 years later, my main storyline starts. This is about halfway in between. So I think, what did I say, 6 years after the portal has opened. So this is while Zilal is still in Mogadishu before she moves to the archipelago and sort of becomes involved in my main storyline.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody, for coming. I know we're ending a little bit early. But obviously, we did not want to run out of time at the end of the recording. So, So do I have to record it all again now?
It actually looks like it works really well. So, you know, on behalf of Podcastle, me and my co-editor and the whole team, everybody, thank you for being here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, who listens to the podcast later on. And thanks, Charlotte, for your...
Thank you, guys.
Podcastle is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated. It's released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. Share it all you like, but don't change or sell it. Our theme music is by Shiva in Exile. Thanks for listening.